Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Jewish Stripper Raw and Real with Alla Kaplan. I'm your host, Alla Kaplan, and I'm very excited to bring you this episode. Last week, I sat down with John W. Kern of the podcast A Swift Kick in the Ass. In the first half of the interview, John opens up about the loss and grief of losing his father and best friend, and his views on life living on your own terms, and his plans for the future. Hello?
Hello, hello.
I didn't really, like, you know, do a script of questions that I want to ask you. Okay. Doesn't matter. So thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, you're welcome. Glad to do it.
Can you hear me pretty well?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
So have you been? Yeah, but I probably will air it if it's...
That's fine. Know. It's the show with me. It's not...
I need a cool announcement, like your kick in the ass, your swift kick in the ass announcement that Be asinine.
Be strong,
everybody
be
needs
bold.
A swift kick in the ass.
Yeah. I'm still working on my opening. I mean, honestly, I just kept it with what Tommy and I had before.
I love it. I love that. Is that your voice?
Depends which one. No, there's a woman's voice.
When there's like the rock music.
That's mine on the end. Yeah, I've done mine. I've been doing this for 10 years, so it's.
Yeah,
I have been doing a lot of different samples throughout the years.
Yeah, so guesting is new for me. You're actually, well, when I first started, I had my friend Teresa, and we did the Why Do People Cheat episode.
Okay.
And then she dropped out of that because it wasn't very professional. Well, I'll cut this out, but she had, I don't know why. When she first got on camera and her friend calls her, and I guess she was in her underwear, and her best friend calls her and says, I can see you in your underwear. So she's like, stop recording this. And we were supposed to be live. So I had to hit.
That's a great story.
That was one of the first episodes, and we were live on Facebook, and I had to cut it off.
I give you a reason not to cut that out, because my dad gave my mom a picture of himself, and it was, you know, he had it was very, I don't know, eloquent or sophisticated, I guess.
Yeah.
He had a pipe in his hand, and he had a suit on and a tie, and he took the picture like this. It was like a selfie, but from like the 50s. He was in his underwear.
Everything from the top up.
Yeah, he had everything from the top up. He wasn't wearing any pants.
Yeah, so she calls her and she's like, I can see you in your underwear. And that's so I had to cut and start over. And
yeah, I guess,
but we
I
couldn't
guess YouTube,
edit it because it was live.
I guess YouTube would frown on that, maybe.
And
I just put explicit on all of my stuff.
Yeah.
Just because I never know when I'll cuss and I honestly think that what I talk about are more mature or adult topics.
Right.
And kids can listen to them. I mean, and sometimes a lot of parents listen to the show with their kids, from what I understand.
Wow.
Which is really cool. But yeah, I don't know. Anyhow.
So I wanted to, you do. Well, I wanted you to tell your story, how you probably told it on your podcast 1,000 times.
Probably not.
To other people about your dad and your best friend passing and, you know.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I actually appreciate that question because my podcast has gone back. I think the original idea was around 2013, because that's the year my dad died. And my dad was in his 80s when he died. So he lived a good long life, but we always think that we have time, right? And that was not true with my dad. And when my dad passed, I learned from a lot of my friends how important he was to them. and what a guiding light really he was, to, and a mentor to a lot of my friends. He taught them how really how to be a man, and how to view the world, and you know, how to get by, and just taught them a lot of good things about cars. And it was amazing to hear all that come out. So, and of course, my dad influenced me a great deal. So after spending the last week of his life with him in hospice, I came home, and I was honestly just, I mean, I was at my wit's end from it. I spent basically a week in lights and in a hospice room. My dad did not want to turn off the lights. So I slept where I could on the couch. It was I guess a milestone in my life, something I'll always remember. And it was tough losing my dad. But when I came home, I just started having this brain dump. You know, I just started writing. I love to write. I've written a lot of things through the years, and I don't publish them. You know, I don't put them out there for people to see. That's probably a whole nother topic. But I start writing, and my friend Tommy, who has passed from brain cancer about 5 or 6 years ago now, he called me for my birthday. And so, you know, wishing me a happy birthday. And he says, you know, I think we should start a podcast. Now, we had discussed like business ideas and things before, and nothing really ever panned out. But he said, you know, I said, that sounds like fun, but what do we do? And he says, well, we do it on what you're writing about, you know, what your dad taught you, and how to live life on your own terms. Cause that's what my dad used to say. You know, live life on your own terms. And I think I've spent my life trying to figure that out, what that really means. And what it means is something different to everybody. But that's how it all started. So back in 2014, Tommy and I came up with the name A Swift Kick in the Ass, because we were thinking about positive motivators, you know, things that get us moving in the right direction. And it's not always pleasant, you know, to be kicked in the ass. It's sometimes painful, but there's a lesson to be learned, and you're a better person for it. And when it's done out of care, you know, when it's done for the right reasons, not just to be, you know, a jerk. I don't know. We started back in 2014 and really started going strong, and really just playing it by ear, taking on topics that were important to us, kind of learning about that, then coming together and talking about it. I was in Virginia. I actually live in just outside of Richmond, Virginia. And, Tommy was down in Hollywood, Florida, which is where I'm from. So we were doing this over Google Hangouts. I mean, way before, I mean, it was
Zoom and
way before Zoom. In fact, some of our earlier podcasts on YouTube are through Google Hangouts. Some of them are not, because it was just a very short period of time where we could do that. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. But after Tommy died, or actually when Tommy got sick, then things started to change, and the podcast started to take kind of a look at grief, you know, at death and dying and grief, and suicide. Talked about suicide on it. Just taking on a lot of really, I think, important issues. I love to learn. I know it sounds a little bit cliched, but this is a perfect podcast for me, because I take on topics that I like to learn about. And I get a lot out of the interviews, I think. So it's for me as much as the audience. I do this for free.
Right.
You know, I'm not trying to make a buck out of it. But I do want to change people's minds. I'm not really change their minds, but get people thinking.
Maybe give them a different perspective.
Yes. So you'll notice, like in my podcast, I ask a lot of questions, and I try not to be judgmental, but let's just face it, we all make judgments.
I'm the Jewish stripper, so I get, I, you know, put myself out there as the Jewish stripper. And so that if that doesn't resonate with people, or if it's if I get judgment, I'm okay with that. So
I am too.
Yeah. I mean, it was like a marketing tool, honestly, but there was, like I said, a million raw and real. And so I said, oh, well, we have to be different. So yeah.
Well, that's who you are, right? That's your background. That's where you came from. That's a part of who you.
It's part of me.
To. Yeah.
It gave me a different perspective on the world.
Yeah.
And people and human nature.
And that's why I brought you on the show too, because that to me is swift, you know, swift kick in the ass is when you learn. I mean, it's a personal journey, I think, that we all take, and we all learn to really live on our terms. I mean, we all live on different terms. You know, we all are brought into this world in different ways. We have different parents. We're raised differently. You know, our skin tone's different. Our religions are different. We're all different, but we all have shared common bonds. And I think that's there are universal truths that apply to all of us. And that's really what I'm after. I'm after disrupting conventional belief, like what most people believe or what society as a whole may believe. It may be right, or maybe really off. I want to get people thinking, you know, right now, I mean, let's just face it, you know, going back to the universal things, we all experience loss in our life. Whether that's physical loss, a physical loss, like losing a friend or a husband or wife or brother or sister, mother, dad, someone close to you, someone that you cared about. I mean, even your close friend. I mean, it means something to us when we lose something, and it really changes our life. But we can lose our jobs. We can lose tons of money. We can lose friends, not through death, but just learning that they're a jerk and making a decision to kind of break off with them. Yeah, walk away. Relationships, husbands and wives.
It's a big thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is something that we all really.
Divorce rate 50%.
And we can learn from each other. But it's not just physical. It's also there's mental loss. There's spiritual loss. I will tell you that you asked me earlier what I was up to, and I have I've kind of had a reawakening in some ways, in a spiritual way. Meaning, I was sitting on my porch over the summertime. It's kind of, you know, it was a Sunday morning, just lazy morning, scrolling through my phone, drinking my coffee, and thinking about my dreams. And one of the dreams I have is to have waterfront property. I want to live, you know, I'm from Florida.
Right.
I live in Virginia, and I'm not that close to the water, but the ocean is a part of me. I miss that. I spent 15 years in Atlanta. You know, I've been landlocked.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm scrolling my phone and I like, you know, my dad also had talked about islands. When we lived in Florida, he said the islands, you could buy an island. And I was curious. Islands in Virginia. Yeah. They're not getting a good name right now.
Yeah.
You know, with Epstein, but you know, I think that's another thing, a conventional thought, not all islands are evil islands. We'll just leave it at that. So I'm searching and I find this three and a half acre island.
Wow.
It's pretty reasonably priced. It's, you know, almost then it's the end of summer. And I call up the realtor and I kind of find out where it is. And she says, I'd love to take you out, but my boat is winterized, just got winterized right now. And honestly, she said, you really can't get up on the island. It's hard to get on the island. I was like, okay.
Row your boat.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. I have a 12-foot John boat with a motor, but yeah. I haven't used it. I hadn't used it in a while, and I needed some parts. So I had parts on order for it. but I really wanted to get out there. So I have an inflatable kayak. It's like something you take to the beach. It's like a raft you take to the beach.
Yeah.
I blew that up. I paddled upstream to get to that island. And it took me probably an hour or more of paddling because I was going upstream. Every time I'd stop, I'd go backwards. I get to the island and as I'm going out there, eagles are out. They're flying overhead. There's fish splashing around. Like I said, I had a reawakening really of my spirit of like as a kid, when I was in high school, I used to take my John boat out in Florida, out in the mangroves. I actually had the same motor and everything. Used to take it out there. I'm taking that John boat in the swamp, everywhere. And I had stopped doing that because life takes over,
right?
Yeah,
I was busy with living life.
Yeah, I wasn't living my life. Yeah. I was just going through the motions and going out there. Like I knew it was crazy. I'm like, I'm going in this inflatable boat. It's, you know, I don't know what to expect, but I did it and I made it out there and I made it back. And now I'm trying to figure out a way to purchase it because, again, going back to real life, I'm paying for my daughter to go to school. So, yeah. And it's I'm doing it pay as you go. Because I came into my marriage in debt. So I've been trying to play catch up all this time. But my idea is to buy this island and I'm going to incorporate it in my YouTube channel.
Cool.
There's a log cabin on it.
Nice.
That was built in 1950. Now it's a dilapidated old cabin and it's going to need a lot of work. I mean, there's like trees that have fallen on it. But I want to tape all that and show people on YouTube what I'm doing. And then I'm gonna ultimately open it up as an Airbnb. I'm gonna have it for myself, of course, but then I'm gonna open it up. And so I'll have a waiting list, hopefully, of people who have been watching me develop this and kind of build this island. You know, see, I love it because that's why I keep talking about it because, you know, I don't believe in the law of attraction, right? Where you're like, oh, universe, please send me this.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you want.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
I'd be a millionaire by now in that case.
Oh my gosh. many times over. That's not to say that positive thinking does not take you places. It does. If you keep telling yourself that you're not going to make it, well, guess what? You're not going to make it. But if you keep telling yourself and you keep pushing and keep trying, you will eventually get there, which is why my boat, I have a 20-foot boat that I've been working on. It's as old as I am. I'm not going to say how old I am. But anyhow,
you told me before.
Yeah, I'm almost 60.
I remember.
So it's called Perseverance.
Yeah.
My boat.
Oh, cool.
But, so again, I want to have a place like a base camp for my boat that I can go out and explore in the Chesapeake Bay. Because it's very close to the Chesapeake Bay and there's a wildlife preserve right behind it. And it's actually in the fly zone for the ducks. You could put duck blinds there. I could rent it to hunters. And it's
nice.
It's like, you can hear, I know I'm excited.
You are excited. I would be excited too.
Passionate about it, but don't have the money to do it. So
it'll come,
you know. It's one of the reasons why I keep talking about it, because I'm really pushing myself as much as I do people on the show to create positive change in their life. You know, again, it seems kind of crazy. And to other people that have dreams, it may not seem so crazy, but it will seem crazy to people who don't have dreams. And I think that's a big problem nowadays.
I say all the time, I get like, not preachy, but I say, like, if you don't chase your dreams, they're not going to come knocking on your front door. So if you have a dream, like I just, you know, one day woke up, decided, I haven't finished my book, but I woke up and decided I should start a podcast. And even after my friend dropped out, I said, I'm not quitting. I'm not going to quit just because if I have to sit here and babble about something to myself. But it turned out people were listening and watching, and it was, you know, it wasn't easy at first, but nothing worth having. I told my friend the other day, you know, she's going to school. She decided actually to become a medical assistant, and she had been working at a salon, hair and other stuff, for 11 years. And, you know, just like surprised everybody, said on New Year's, by the way, I'm starting a new job as a medical assistant. I said, awesome. And she said, you know, she's going to get a degree, she's going to school for it. But in the meantime, she got a job doing it. And I said, that's amazing. Because, you know, I don't want to say her age. I'm going to, you know, I'll keep her anonymous. But she was the one that we had started the podcast initially together. And I said, it's amazing that you're going, you know, learning something new at your age, and you wanted to change your reality, and you did.
Yeah.
And you know, and she kept it quiet, and she wasn't like, oh, by the way, this is what I'm doing. She was like, you know, kept it quiet until it was a real thing. And I talk about...
See, that's where I kicked myself with my island idea, because I really shouldn't be telling people about it, because someone can come in and take it. If someone really wanted to find it, they could. And if they are interested, please reach out to me. I want to be a part.
You could invest together.
Yeah. That's very true.
Into a little vacation spot.
Yeah. So, you know, so I've been doing my podcast, and I also have it's part of my kind of my strategy is to use it to ease into retirement, because I don't see myself sitting on a porch drinking lemonade in a rocking chair. You know, yeah. I just want to live my life. Spend time with my family and my friends. You know, my daughter is down in South Carolina right now. She's in school. I mean, before I know it, she'll be married and have kids, and my other daughter will be out of college before I know it. You know, she has her whole life. I can't wait to see what she's going to do. And my son is in high school right now. So in the next 5 years, my life is going to change drastically. I mean, my wife and I are going to be empty nesters. That's part of my drive for building up my podcast, because I do want to, you know, I just don't want to sit around. I want to actually build something of my own. Been talking about it for a long time, and now I'm going to do it. So you talked about your book. I've been writing, like I said, for a long time, and I have many books that I started and I didn't finish.
Yeah, I just have the one that I still have to go finish.
Well,
not even a point of publishing it. It's just a point of finishing it for myself.
Right. So I think it's okay to shift gears and such and put things on back burners. I have a story about my college experience that is not coming out anytime.
It's so hush hush, huh?
Yeah.
It's something you had to put on paper. It's that good, though.
Yeah. Oh, honestly, it wasn't as good as it was experiencing it. When you start to think about your own life experience and then you start to write it down, you think, well, that's pretty boring. So I spiced it up a little. It's based in reality.
Based on actual events.
It's based on some actual event. Yeah. I mean, there's a mix. But anyhow, my dad used to always talk about people needing attitude adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, he'd see someone out there like yelling or something like that, and he's like, you need an attitude adjustment, or that guy needs an attitude adjustment. So
where did this, this 2 hours you interviewed me, I couldn't believe, and you put the entire 2 hours on your podcast. I was like, I didn't know I was that interesting.
Yeah. That was this, I, you got a swift kick in the ass. You realize that you're more interesting than you thought.
I mean, I thought that my experience, you know, as a stripper was interesting until I started writing the book and I realized that I had this crazy childhood.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't when I started going chronological from childhood to up to the current time, which was during COVID. But I just thought that, you know, then I realized that, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's happened in my family that that most people will never experience. It wasn't, you know, a typical family. Anyway, it's not about me today.
But. Yeah, no, you know what, though? I mean, it's like, I think we all have that. We all have unique experiences, but there's some element, though, of your experience and my experience that
is universal.
Is universal and in all shares that we can all share. But get back to the attitude adjustment for a moment.
Yeah.
So I think with everything that's going on, we all need a good attitude adjustment, you know? And what I mean, because, you know, attitude isn't really how you think, feel, or behave. It's how you show up. It's how you show up to the game. And, you know, we can't control the events that go on in our life a lot. We can't control our situations a lot of the time, especially in this world. And oftentimes we can't control that we have feelings, you know, or right. that these events or situations are emotional to us. To me, emotion, you know, it means that we care when we get emotional. But
we don't necessarily have to react.
We can control the attitude,
how we react.
What we bring next.
Right.
Like we can't. Yeah. And sometimes I don't know. I've had some experiences in my life where I felt bad. Like I didn't like my reaction. And I wasn't pleased because I think that's where that's really where the rubber meets the road. You know, we can talk about we can talk about things that may or may not happen, but until you're actually in it, you don't really know.
But you learn from the past as you get older, and I'm in my 50s, and, you know, I haven't been always the best person. I mean, one is perfect, so.
Right.
But
you can't hold back. Like, if you dwelled on that, I mean, you can't change the past.
Learn
from it.
A
lot of people carry baggage from the past instead of, you know, letting go. And the future's not here, but I constantly find myself thinking about the future. I know if you look back in this, you know, in this discussion, I talk about, you know, how great my life's going to be in 5 years, you know, or how different it's going to be. You know, I think it's important to think about the future, but we can't dwell in it. We don't live in it. We have to live in right here and right now.
And you can't live in the past.
Right. And what can we do about it? You know, and I'm like everybody else. You know, I'm trying to make my way in this world too. I mean, I'm kind of tired of working. I put in 27 years in my company that I'm at. You know, I'm not knocking it. It served it well. But for this guy who is all against, you know, conventional belief, you know, I'm working for corporate America.
He's been at her job 46 years.
Yeah.
Come next month.
You know, and the problem with that, there's not necessarily a problem with that.
No.
The problem is, I think, when the person doesn't have a life outside of work, when their life is just their work. Now, that's what has kept me in corporate America, really, is the benefits and the pay. Getting paid time off and getting vacation time
right.
and being able to go away. And also, it's not my business, so I'm not constantly thinking about it 24 hours a day.
What do they say? I think the saying is something like, if you don't build your dream life, you're building someone else's for them.
Yeah. Right. So I wanted to kind of take a hybrid approach to that and provide a service as like a hired gun, really, for a company. Provide, you know, I'm a knowledge worker. I use my knowledge, my expertise to help them. But I also help myself, you know, on the things that are important to me. That's why I do my podcast. And my job enables me the time and the luxury, really, to be able to do that. Because, you know, got to do something with your time, I guess. But I'm putting together I kind of shifted gears from a book. Mm-hmm. And I think it's either going to be come out as a course or a presentation or something, but it's called the 7-Day Attitude Adjustment.
So it sounds like that kind of a life coaching.
Kind of like, yeah. And it's really just kind of to give people a kick in the ass and motivate them and give them something to think about and a framework that they can use, you know, to push themselves forward. And it's going to go over some of the things that we've talked about.
You know, are you a fan of Tony Robbins?
You know what? I started reading him a little bit.
I did too.
And to be honest with you, I had to stop.
Yeah.
Because a lot of what he was covering, I've thought about and know about, and I didn't want him influencing my thoughts. Like, I mean, it was very similar, and I'm not. He has a multi-million-dollar empire that he has built, and he charges a lot of money,
a lot
for that, and people willingly pay that.
And there's a lot of people doing what he's doing that he's teaching people to do, which is charge money for the services.
Yeah, and I, you know, I think that's fine, but I don't think you can pay your way out of certain things.
I agree.
I think it's better if you have the experience yourself.